WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for the Philadelphia Eagles to play football. No, it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat, if you have an Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Sports Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite. I'm chatting with my Snoop Dogg, Eminem. Brand new battle passes. And so many other collabs. Just hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the very healthy intern.
Healthy, yeah, that's a way to put it. I don't know, my lifespan decreased by a few years watching that game from this afternoon.
Hey, they won.
41 points in the fourth quarter?
They won though. Your team won a game.
Giving up a touchdown with 30 seconds left and no timeouts, and only to have the team that needed an extra point to tie it to shank a second extra point, and then return the onside for a touchdown to put the game away.
Yep, that
it was a thing.
It was a thing. It was indeed a kickers were a thing today. They sure as shit were. Well, that's football. We're not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about professional wrestling sports entertainment, which means we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Hey, Rock, how about them Cowboys?
I mean, they won. I just said that they won, which was good.
Yeah,
The Cowboys winning was a good thing.
Because
it helps the Eagles. Took down Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, Brent's Cowboys won. Rock's Eagles are leading 13-7 at halftime.
Yes.
And my Green Bay Packers blew out the Niners.
I mean, to be fair, like half the Niners are on the injured reserve, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that big of an accomplishment, but anyway.
Otherwise, it would have just been a regular one instead of a blowout.
Anywho, they're here to talk about Survivor Series, which takes place this Saturday live on the WWE Network. For now, till it's no longer a network. It just becomes a device on all streaming different platforms, including Netflix and beyond, and on Peacock here in the United States. It will be at 6 p.m. Eastern, so check your local time and availability in your area for when it starts.
Isn't WWE Network going to continue to exist internationally?
In certain markets. In well, major,
Canada
in,
is one of them.
No, Canada, it's going to Netflix, I believe.
Oh, screw that.
Because whoever's getting the TV rights in those bigger markets like the UK and Australia and stuff like that, I believe Canada's on that list, it's all going to Netflix.
No, I hope my WWE field feed comes from the UK.
Well, it'll be going to Netflix, so enjoy all of that. There are a lot of matches to get through on this show.
All three of them.
Yep.
Beat you. Ha ha.
Yeah, yes. All three.
Probably another one or two added.
Eagles
Maybe
touchdown.
One.
Eagles touchdown.
19-7.
There we go. Probably two more added by tomorrow night on Raw.
Any chance one on Raw and one on SmackDown?
Well, SmackDown's been
busy.
It's been taped already. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see what comes
nothing
out of
spoiled,
it.
Nothing leaked.
It's unless they add on socials, LA Knight versus Shinsuke,
which they could.
Well, I was thinking that they might.
It could be a thing. We'll find out as the week goes on. But the show is focused around two big Survivor Series war game matches, and there's a little intrigue in the women's side because Jade Cargill was taken out on SmackDown.
Who took out Jade?
We don't know yet. But apparently, it's a real injury.
Hmm.
Yeah,
kind apparently of like she's Rhea's, broken orbital bone is a real injury.
Well, Rhea's is, and
that's what I'm saying.
Hence the mask.
Jade is supposed to be out at least 3 months, is what's being reported.
So maybe Mania.
We got some time for Mania. Yeah. She'll be November, December, January. If she could make Mania. Because it's at the end of April this year, so
December, January, February, yeah. If it's only 3 months, then she would have a month and a half for build and match.
And again, because they don't work as often, she could get back to television at some point in the healing process.
Yeah, you're counting December like it's a month away. Basically, we're in December.
We're not there yet.
It's at the end of the week. It starts at the end of the week, basically in December.
I understand that, but we still have the entire full month of December, hence why I'm counting the one. Because that would be 30 days of healing.
And with you guys being Americans, the Christmas season doesn't properly start until after Thursday.
It doesn't. Christmas does
not
start.
That's what I'm saying.
Christmas starts like technically on Thanksgiving.
Christmas starts when Santa arrives
on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving at the parade. That's
okay,
when Christmas
starts. Let's clarify. We're talking Christmas season.
That's when it starts. When he
that
arrives
starts
at
on Black Friday.
It starts when he arrives.
It's when he rides in the Macy's Day Parade
or your local parade, and he shows up there. That's when it starts. And Black Friday started 3 weeks ago.
No, that doesn't count.
No, that counts because they've been offering Black Friday.
I'm sorry. No.
It's Black Friday deals starting in the beginning of November. Go ahead. Okay. Or don't.
Apparently he went mute again.
And he went coughing again.
Poor Brent.
There we go. He's good now. But anyway, that's all technicalities. Matt bought a TV on Black Friday 2 weeks ago. See, it's already started. It's already
a
thing.
Flag on the play, and they threw it on Philly's side.
Anyway,
just in case you were busy talking and missed it.
I can see the game. But let's talk about the match. No longer talk about Black Friday and semantics.
Okay.
It's Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Naomi, Io Sky, and Bayley. Apparently,
spoiler,
taking on the Judgment Day's Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, and Candice LeRae. Bayley was the obvious choice. Spoiler or no spoiler, she was the obvious choice to replace her.
Yeah.
But what do we think about the match?
Well, Bayley is the obvious choice because... Oh, go ahead.
No. You continue your train of thought before I lose it.
I was going to say Bayley is the obvious choice here because it injects some interesting interplay on that team. because Bayley is friends with Naomi. Naomi is friends with Bianca. But don't forget, Bianca and Bayley had a long-standing rivalry with one another. And you saw that a little bit this week when, like, Bayley came in to check on Jade, and Bianca was just like, you know, no, you know, she's my tag team partner. What the hell are you doing? Just go away. Leave us alone. And jumped into the ambulance. So it's one of those kinds of things where it's like sometimes a little bit of dissension on a team like this is interesting. Plus, they can play up the whole idea of, like, was Bayley the one who attacked Jade in order to get the spot? I mean, you could ultimately have Bianca be the one who did it if it leads to the Mania build. But you have some interesting interplays on that side. Io is just fucking over right now. Like, she comes out and the fans just lose it, so that's fun. And we got the surprise of Rhea Ripley, who we thought was going to be out for an extended time, but now just has, you know, the new Taker face shield and is ready to just kill people. So on the face side, I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Definitely a couple of individual rivalries that are going to be spotlighted and highlighted before everybody moves on to separate feuds. The intriguing thing is, are they going to tease that it was Bayley? Are we going to find out maybe Rhea did it because she wanted the spot, because she wanted that revenge? That's an aspect, don't you think?
I don't know if it would be Rhea, because Rhea already had the spot. She was already on the team, and you had Bianca and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Jade
that's
together right. With her.
I skipped Raw. No, not saying I didn't watch it. I mean, my brain skipped that.
Well, one thing that's really interesting to consider too is we saw this last year with the men's war games. Hey, Rock or Tim, we've got someone with a piece of hardware in that match, right?
Mm.
We have two champions,
yeah,
and someone with a briefcase.
Yeah,
that, and I mean, even though they're on the same team, that could be really interesting of, you know, things go a little bit awry in the cage, and Tiffany goes, maybe it's time to do this.
I've given up even thinking that it's going to happen before the end of 2024.
See,
I really have.
I think it would be hilarious, and it would be something we've never seen before. Someone cash in during a War Games and on their own team. It was hinted last year with Seth and Damian and Rhea before, you know, Randy came out as the mystery fifth man.
Yeah.
But it would be something that it's like either during the match or at the end of the match. It would be a fun thing to just kind of like do. Like, okay, Rhea or Nia goes through a table, or, you know, Liv is just out in one of the rings. And it would just be funny of like Tiffany is just sitting there and she just looks over. And you just see the gears turning of like, well, I mean, I'm not going to leave this match empty-handed and try and cash in. That would be something different and something, I would say, intriguing that could come from this match.
Yeah, potentially. But yeah, at the same time, I'm just not putting any stock into her cashing in at Survivor Series. They, for the most part, seem to like to stretch it out as long as they can, really. And with all the teases, like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure we're going to get another double tease of her potentially cashing in on one or the other. But dirty look from Nia and another what the hell do you think you're doing moment, and it gets evaporated. I don't think it's going to happen.
I can always hope and dream.
Yeah, I get it. And I know that you're desperate to have that strap put around Tiffany's waist. Don't worry. It will eventually happen.
It would look really great on her waist, let me tell you. but I was going to say, I think this continues the streak of Io Sky being in every War Games for the females.
Has she?
I believe.
If only we had a fact checker to look it up, like an intern. Oh, I hear keyboard.
This may take a minute, so I will.
I hear keyboard noises.
Yeah, let me see.
Meanwhile, while he's reading, Rock, that was one. Dangerously close to PI, don't you think?
She was in that one. Yep. For the female War Games, Io Sky, or Io Shirai, has been in every female War Games match.
Io Sky hasn't, but Io has.
Well, Io in general.
Yeah.
In any of her incarnations. has been in working.
Incarnation of EO. Well, that's a pretty cool stat. I didn't even realize that.
Well, because she always does the spot off the cage.
Yeah. Well, it'd be kind of neat.
Whether
if
it's
they,
with the
go ahead. Whether it's what?
Whether it's, you know, with a trash can or just the moonsault or whatever she does, she's always the one that goes wee off the top of the cage.
Yeah, I was going to say it'd be kind of neat if 5 years from now we're commenting on the fact that she's been in all 10 or however many.
Actually, I think she is the only participant, men or women, to have competed in every War Games match. Dakota Kai is a close second with 4 appearances. She just did not make this most recent one.
But what happened in Dakota's first attempt at War Games, Brian?
Hypothetically, something may have happened, but we're not going to touch on that.
Chicken. So anyway, about the match proper itself, are you what are you most looking forward to?
I honestly, when it comes to the women's War Games, I feel like it is more of an overall car crash. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean the women seem to really kind of ramp up what we see in the War Games match. The men's matches have tended to have, like, a story with them. We saw that last year with who was the fifth man. And then the year before it was how is the Bloodline going to do? Because that was when we still had Jay and Sammy kind of, you know, fighting with one another still. Jay didn't trust him. But the men's matches have had kind of more of the psychology, more of the story. The women's matches have had, like, the big spots and kind of the crazy aspects of it. And did it necessarily flow as well sometimes as some of the men's matches? No, but I would say
chaotic.
The women's... Right, it's more chaotic, but it's also a little bit more fun to watch. So I'm just looking forward to seeing, like, is that what's going to carry forward again? Are the women going to be the one that are like, we want to kind of take this up a notch? Because we know the men are going to have the story. The men have... the drama.
Well, for the women's, how many individual storylines are going head to head here in that in War Games?
Well, let's see. You've got the women's tag with Nia and Tiffany a little bit.
Yeah,
Candace is kind of there.
Yeah,
there with the women's tag group, which has been, of course, replaced by Bayley. Rhea and the Judgment Day. Io as the number one contender. Yeah, you've got a couple of individual lines there.
There's a few different things, and here's the car crash aspect. You've got to pay attention to everything going on, because they're going to be further developing all these individual stories inside the main part of Women's War Games. And if you're not paying attention, you're gonna miss something. So as intriguing as the storyline and the psychology and the shocking return, we'll talk about it when we get to that match, and the surprise in the men's match, there's going to be more to the women's match, right?
I'd agree.
Yeah. So basically, I'm backing your ass up here when you call it a car, you know, like when you call it a car crash, not in a bad way. It's, yeah, usually you say stuff like that, like it's a train wreck or whatever, and that's because everybody looks at how bad shit is and causes traffic jams because everybody slows down and rubbernecks. Everybody's going to slow down and rubberneck, but not because this is going to be bad. It's going to be filled with a little bit of everything, just about. And that's got me looking forward to the match. I mean, it's really got me hyped and interested. Last year didn't have the same flavor or feel to it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'm going to watch it. But I'm a little more intrigued this time around for this one, right?
Now, the big question, who you got?
That's the big question. With everything going on and everything going down, can we call them the babyface team?
Okay.
I guess, right? You know, with Rhea and Bayley and Io. And I'm going to say that they wind up winning. But who's going to be the final one, right? Like
the final one?
You know what I mean.
Who's going to say there's not a sole survivor for them?
Yeah, no. Who's getting pinned?
Like,
who would you give it to if that's the team you're picking?
I would have Rhea and Raquel, who, you know, big women, boom. Because we haven't really seen Rhea and Raquel one-on-one this time around since Raquel got hurt.
Since she's been back.
Since she's been back. If I were to give a win to someone, just because of the reaction they're getting because of what's going on, the way that I think it could help ramp things up going in either a Saturday night's main event or a Royal Rumble. Io gets the pin on Liv.
If she
could hold it over.
Then she can hold it over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if I'm giving Io the pin, I'm not tapping Liv for the loss. Same reason if I'm tapping Rhea for the pin win, I'm not pegging. Come on, help me out, Raquel.
Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah, I'm not pegging Rodriguez to take the loss. Liv, maybe. I mean, their story has been transmuted into basically Rhea taking on Judgment Day with a female enforcer, essentially. But I want to keep them apart and build the tension instead of giving them something to say, ha 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 ha. And besides, if you tap Rhea, you can't have her pin Raquel, because Raquel can't take that pinfall loss right now.
Well, I was going to say, if you have Rhea pin, it can't be Liv, because that would add Rhea to the mix, in a sense, because she could say, I pinned the champion. If Rhea were to do that, it would have to be, if you were going to have Rhea get the win, it would have to be over someone like Candice LeRae.
This is where I'm going to disagree with you. She could lord that over everybody, saying, you know, I pinned the champion. Because right now they're not in the feud, they're not in the one-on-one. And Rhea's main focus is going to be taken on Raquel with Liv in the background, right?
Where were you
when Liv needed you at War Games, bitch? Get it?
If Rhea pinning Liv, though, doesn't help things. As much as it's Rhea and Raquel in the feud, I don't think Rhea getting a pinfall victory with Liv is going to enhance that feud with Raquel. I think it's like I said, if the two of them take each other out, then it could build towards the one-on-one, because it's like, they didn't get the win over each other. We need to settle this. But if you put Raquel, or if you have Rhea pin Liv, which she couldn't do the previous couple of attempts because they just got out of a feud, it's like, well, what was the point?
Well, this is a totally different story because it's War Games, so you can get away with it and actually use it down the road in all your other storylines. It's a possibility, and it's something that you know crossed the booker's mind. Whether it happens or not, we'll find out on Saturday. But I'm giving the pinfall victory to Io, and she'll probably pin Candice.
If I have to guess, I would say Io gets the pin on Liv, but that's me.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to disagree with you on that, because you want to keep those two apart like that. And I understand what you're doing, but the problem is it's too obvious. And it is something Vince might book.
I think yours is too obvious, having Candice take the fall.
I don't know.
That's the obvious one. That's the Vince one, where you're using the weakest person in the match, who has no championship whatsoever and is not challenging for a title, to take the fall.
No, I don't know. And you're only chiming in because there's a commercial break.
That is the only reason I'm here, is because it's commercial. I've been listening, but I'm watching the game.
Well,
I
was just going to tell Rock before the commercial's over, I did warn you I was having the game on in the background.
Oh, I understand this, and I'm not focused on you guys, except for that point.
I'm kind of mad at the Eagles right now because they're blowing my point spread on Proline.
Well, good.
I picked them to win, but come on, shave a few of those points just so I can pocket $150 tomorrow.
Anyway, moving on to the next match, because you guys kind of went in circles towards the end of this one. Damian Priest challenges Gunther for the world's heavyweight championship.
Oh, you want to start with this one, Brent, or do you want me to start?
You go first.
I'm looking forward to it. Big time. I've got a bad feeling about how Gunther will wind up winning, but I am picking Gunter to win. The reason I'm looking forward to it is these guys put on a fairly decent match at Slam, and I wanted it to go on a little bit longer before they decided to have the interference crap go down.
Yeah, we saw the hard-hitting bit between the two of them. We weren't disappointed with what they put together the first And I think this is a good kind of carry after Crown Jewel when Gunther picked up the loss against Cody, even though it wasn't really for anything. It was just for, you know, some bling to have on your finger.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, this is a Damian is a good credible. You're not going to throw Seth back in there because Seth is going to be busy. We'll talk about that in the next match. Mm-hmm. They're building towards something else. One of your other big faces is a little busy that night as well. So he's not going to take on Gunther. So Damian, who is a former world champion in his own right, you do get that chance of, hey, I'm going for the title that I got screwed out of. And let's see what happens when I don't have someone just hanging around outside the ring trying to make my life a living hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, these two are going to beat the hell out of each other. Damian and or Gunther's chest is going to be a nice shade of red when all is said and done.
Well, I think both will, but you won't be able to tell that Damian's is because he's got a shirt on.
But also I like the fact of when it comes to Gunther, you have a lot of people who, you know, talk about him honoring the ring and he just beats the hell out of people. But I kind of like the fact that they've introduced Damian as willing to take the shot that other people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Gunther went to attack him and he pulls out the lead pipe, you have that kind of added element of Damian in the streets. And like, yeah, he's going to do what it takes. Not in a heelish way, but just like, yeah, you say you're the king of the ring. Cool. What happens when we're not in the ring? I'm not afraid of you.
Well, that just it kind of leads me to my question. Gunther is going into this one as the heel, and Damian is going in as the face. But he's going in as the good guy who was a heel until he lost the belt. Do you see the possibility of Gunther maybe using some heel tactics with Damian responding with heel tactics saying, I'm not putting up with that shit? What do you think?
I don't know if I would call it
like there are two different ways of wrestling. You wrestle as a babyface with one certain move set. You wrestle as a heel with a different certain move set. Both of you are focused on winning the match. One is more willing to be a little underhanded than the other. That's your traditional babyface versus heel matchup, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too much into the possibility of this. Like if Gunther does something nasty, Damian's willing to wrestle clean until that happens, and then he pulls out something greasy in response. You don't see that in a normal good guy bad guy match. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and I just think that might add a a layer of depth to the storyline. What do you think?
Because
what I'm saying is it ties in to like your point previously. How do you think you're going to do on the street as opposed to the ring? Right.
Well, yeah. I think it's one thing when Damian says that, like outside of the ring, and Gunther tries to jump him, and it's that kind of thing. It would be I would say Damian would be more inclined to do the kind of use absolutely everything in his arsenal if it was more of a stip match, a street fight, that kind of thing, where he could be like, yeah, if we stay in the ring, this is more your domain. But the second we step outside those ropes, it's on.
All bets are off.
I just don't know. I think for this match, he's going to be physical. I just don't think he's going to quite dip into that extra arsenal.
No. Well, one thing that sort of paying attention to in the background, ever since he did win that title way back when, you know, it part of it is telling the rest of Judgment Day, stay away from the ring, let me handle my business. And then he goes out there, handles his business, and, you know, he wrestles clean. Whereas before he became champion, he was known to be a little greasy. But as champion, mm-hmm. he was wrestling clean. And when he lost the belt, he was continuing that clean wrestling that you expect from your good guy, your baby face.
So who wins?
For me, it's going to be Gunther after a really, really good match. But like I said, I have reservations that it's going to be a clean pinfall without any kind of extra ring shenanigans.
Right, Brent, who wins?
Ring General.
There you go. That's Men's War Games. It is the OGs, Roman Reigns, the Usos, Sami Zayn, and the real OG, CM Punk, apparently, taking on the new bloodline of Solo, Jacob, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Big Bronson Reed.
You know, the guy that's always been part of the new bloodline.
He's always been the one.
Now, before Paul Heyman made a surprise return and surprise number five, how much of the internet was expecting it to be Seth?
No, I think more people, I saw more people saying it was going to be Brock than Seth.
Really? Because
they thought it was going to be a Paul Heyman. Yeah. They thought Paul was going to bring someone in. They just thought it was going to be his client because there's also the history of Brock and Roman, and there was a bit of that kind of respect that came from their battles.
Yeah.
So it was like, if someone needs to come in and avenge Paul, it could have been the Beast. Now, adding Seth or adding CM Punk to the mix adds a whole different dimension because, as was talked about on Monday night, Seth refused to be on Roman's team. His entire thing was, I will stand with everyone here except him because there's too much bad blood. Now Punk has stepped up to join that team, and so he gives another wrinkle to the fact of CM Punk and Seth having issues.
Yep. Speaking of issues, they've got an unsettled beef that hasn't really been talked about since it happened. Well, not very much, anyway.
Punk and Roman?
Enlighten everybody, Brent.
Oh, that dips all the way back to Roman talking about being a needle mover, and that Punk wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Yep.
So, I mean, but that's also touched on a little bit with when Punk came out. He pointed at Roman and essentially like he was here for, you know, he is my wise man, not yours. Like, I'm here for him, not necessarily for you. Paul called me in to help, so I'm doing him a solid. I could give a rip about you. And as I have talked about so far in terms of this entire bloodline storyline with Roman, you're having to see him change his ways from what was before, where he was the one in charge. It's, this is my plan, this is all of this, you know, this is my wise man. And they had that segment backstage earlier that week when Solo was asking for his surrender, and it was, look, if we can't find five, we're going to go out 4-on-5, and we're going to die on our shield if we have to, because that's just how we are. And the other guys were kind of like, okay, sure, like, I guess we'll go out like that. And I thought the one real kind of telling line from then when it was Sammy like, all right, I'm in, but what's the plan? And Roman's like, I don't have one. And it showed the kind of change of Roman of like, yeah, no, he was always going to have the plan. He was always going to have Paul, you know, the wise man with, you know, the backup. And he went out there with nothing, and Paul came out to surprise him, and it was just like, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to admit he didn't have a plan. The only problem that I have with the whole thing, with him trying to get a hold of Paul Heyman and coming up with the number you have dialed is no longer in service shit.
Well, I mean, if we remember, when you know, before Paul went through the table, Solo destroyed the phone.
Yeah, that doesn't kill your phone number. Your phone number is still active with a destroyed phone. It just automatically goes to voicemail. Impressive for me is if you heard the recorded, the person you were trying to reach is not available, please leave a message at the tone. Just saying. It's a nitpick. I'm sorry.
I get that. But the one thing I will say about that whole situation is with the number being out of service and all of that, remember, Roman wasn't around. He hadn't been in contact with Paul because that whole time, it was like Solo, I guess, had talked to Roman.
Mm-hmm.
He had been away. So if Roman then tried to reach out to Paul and it's like, oh, this number is no longer in service, it could be like, oh, and then, oh, yeah, the phone. Shit.
So we changed his number.
It could have been that. Yeah, it could have been, well, I have to get a new phone. And, you know, sometimes when you get those phones, the number doesn't transfer over. So, well, here we go.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's a nitpick. But it's just, there are certain things that just annoy me.
I get that. Yeah. One thing that will be really interesting is we will get to see Tongaloa fight.
Yes.
For those people.
I was just about to say, haven't you been itching for that for a while?
Well, for those who may not have understood, in New Japan, you saw a lot of Tama Tonga. He's pretty good. His brother, his tag team partner, has a bit of a reputation in New Japan, and it's not great. We saw a hint of it when he tried to low blow someone in the ring, and it took him about 2 or 3 attempts. So. Yeah. It'll be real interesting to see what happens when he's in a confined cage.
You don't want to say he's bad, but you also don't want to call a spade a spade.
We don't want to say he's bad. There's just a reason that when they have tag matches, it's Tama and Jacob.
Yep.
Just put that out there.
So
now,
so you're looking forward to this.
I am. My question is, who would you start this match with? Because it's going to be the workers that are going to be in there the entire time.
Sammy or OG. And on the other side, start Solo against Sammy. Solo's
I could see it being I could see it either being Jay or Sammy and Tama. I don't think you put Roman in there first. I don't think you put Solo in there first. You have that build as the big guys. The but one thing I...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, the one thing...
Yeah, jump into the conclusion.
The one thing I don't want to see...
Yes, I did that on purpose. I'll shut up now. Go ahead.
Please, shut up and let him speak. Let him speak. Let his point come out. Jesus. Thank you. Continue.
The one thing I don't want to see, and that we'll get in both matches, I know, because it's what happens with War Games. I hate the spot when you've got one person is coming down to the ring, they're all fired up, and... They spend about 30 seconds just putting stuff into the ring before they step in there. You know, oh, they're going to throw in about 3 or 4 chairs. Oh, they're going to bring in the kendo sticks. Oh, they're going to bring in the tables. Oh, they're going to... And I get that War Games is, okay, you can add some stuff into there. It feels like it breaks up the flow, or it's like, okay, someone's coming down into the ring, and you know they're not going to enter the ring for 2 minutes. I just want someone to be able to just... come down to the ring, get in there, close the door, and just start beating the hell out of someone because they're fresh.
And now we know your pet peeve.
Yeah, it's like, I get it if it's every so often in a War Games, but it happens every match and every entrant. I think the one time it really got to me is when we had the Undisputed Era in the match and they were like pulling out tables and chairs with their logo on it. And it was just kind of like, okay. One, having it happen once in the match, sure. But every time they were pulling something out, it was Undisputed. And I was like, okay, now this is getting overkill.
Totally. But you're not going to start Roman and you're not going to start Solo. When are you going to put them in?
I would put them in probably, the earliest I would put them in is 3.
I'd have Solo coming at 3, Roman coming at 4.
That's fine because you can start to build it like if Solo enters them. Honestly, I would probably have Solo come in 5.
Wow.
Have him be the freshest guy for the new bloodline.
Okay. So for OTC, who are you putting in 5? There's only one answer.
It would probably be Punk. And my thing about that would be if when you get to 4, so whoever's going to enter in the 4 spot, I want there to be that spot where it's him and Roman in the cage together. And there's that moment of like, do you want to? Or should I?
Mm-hmm.
And Roman just, it's more, again, part of that element of, if it was actual Tribal Chief Roman, he would come in at 5, he'd saunter his way into the ring. With this, I want it to be like, he looks in there, he sees that Sammy and the Usos need him, And it's that kind of, like, you come in five, I'm going now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me.
No, that works. It really works. So the critical question is, who wins?
Last year, we ended with CM Punk as the lasting image of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to end... The only way that we would end, in my opinion, with the new bloodline as your lasting image is if someone is out there with them as a shock moment. What I think that's the only way I would have the new bloodline win is if Dwayne shows up and shows that he is pulling the strings the entire match or the entire thing. We get that Solo saying it's all part of the plan.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'd have the new bloodline end, because they've victories over Roman, over the Usos, over all of that. Normally, I would pick OG to get the win here to kind of help tip the scale back. Because if they lose War Games, then what's the bloodline? What's the old bloodline?
Well, question is, if Roman's team wins, is this the end of that feud, and then they go into another chapter, I guess, of the entire the bloodline? It's not a story; it's a novel by this point. But
we haven't gotten the solo match. And so that's, I think, your next step is getting who is the legitimate chief,
and it would have to be that one-on-one Solo versus Reigns. So. That being said, I'm saying OG Roman's team wins, but Roman doesn't get the pinfall over Solo because of what you just pointed out.
Yeah, I agree that you probably wouldn't have Roman get the win over Solo. You'd have Roman or Punk pick up the victory here.
Yep.
And you have the big tribal chief, you know, like Roman's, okay, he can now stake claim to the title.
Yeah. So it could be Roman pinning just about anybody except Solo, or it could be Punk pinning anybody, period.
Yeah.
Punk is like, this is pretty much, I see this as a one-off with CM Punk, really.
Yeah. No, I think this is something where you could get Punk on the show in a big match and yet still continue the stuff with Seth to build up to their ultimate match.
When that finally eventually happens at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, would you have CM Punk? What's the preference in your opinion, in your thinking? Would it be Punk or would it be Roman?
Honestly, what I would like to see, and I've touched on this kind of in the spot leading up to them entering, you have a chance where Roman could get the victory, but he defers it to someone else. For him, he's starting to learn that it's like, no, the group is the important thing, and it's more of a lead by example than he wants to be a tyrant. Because, right, because we've already seen, Jay has basically said, like, I'm here with you, I've got your back, unless you screw up, and at that point, I'm gone.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go through all that again.
Yeah, this is no more, you're the leader and we're followers, this is an equal opportunity thing.
Yeah, this is a we the one.
Now, let's address the number one conspiracy theory out there. One person in WWE who was absolutely fantastic at spinning potential conspiracy theories is now himself the subject of a potential conspiracy. And it's a theory until it happens. A lot of people are speculating Paul Heyman is going to screw over CM Punk, or he's going to screw over Roman. We've got to talk about it, Brent.
To me, it doesn't make sense of Paul screwing them over, only for the fact of, like, the last image we saw of Paul Heyman was him going through a table.
Yep.
Thanks to the new bloodline. After, you know, also, I'm not acknowledging you, and them beating him to high holy hell.
And so, it's just not one of those things where you would see a 59-year-old overweight guy, out of shape guy, getting the stuffing knocked out of him, joining the people that knocked the stuffing out of him.
Well, that's one of the things that has always bugged me when you have a situation like that. Like, I always go back to the Aces and Eights storyline with Bully Ray.
Yeah.
And when he talks about his whole, you know, he did his whole episode of like why he broke, you know, why he did what he did and how it all played out. Everyone was like, yeah, but what about the time at the wedding where someone hit you with like a cinder block or like beat the hell out of you? And his response was, well, sometimes you got to take your licks. And it's like, no, in a storyline like that, it's not, well, I have to get the shit beat out of me just to throw people off. It's like, no. So in this case, it wouldn't be like, well, just to fool everyone, I had the new bloodline put me through a table, and I disappeared for a couple of months just to be able to bide my time. Why?
Because I can answer the question. I'll give you the conspiracy theory on that one. To trust the loyalty of his tribal chief. And was last Friday, or a week ago Friday, the first time Roman's reached out to him? Did Roman reach out when he got powerbombed? Did Roman reach out at all in those 6 months when he left?
Or was that the hell were you when I needed you, my tribal chief?
And because his tribal chief didn't reach out to him, he's going to the guy who was against his tribal chief. Yeah, Solo probably reached out to him. That's how you can spin it. I'm not saying it's the best story. But there's your conspiracy tie-in.
Yeah, Solo was reaching out to Paul right up until he put him through the table. Had him put through the table.
And here's the thing. I get that idea of like, okay, you didn't reach out. You did all of that. And I will say, maybe having a mouthpiece for Solo could be helpful because, to be fair, Solo isn't the greatest on the mic. He's brought in some new personality for his tribal chief aspect, but it's still not the greatest.
Yeah, he's still better on the mic than Bret Hart was.
If necessarily, I mean, there's a lot of people we could say are better on the mic than Bret Hart was. No offense.
Offense to you, Bret. We know you're listening.
And I will also say that, like, I don't know if Face Roman needs a mouthpiece in terms of Paul Heyman, because I think the aspect was, when he was a heel, yeah, you let Paul speak for him. He's just the big guy. And then when he does talk, it's supposed to be impactful. But in this case, I don't know if having Heyman screw Roman is really that beneficial. Especially the big piece that's sitting out there is, you know, what's going on with Dwayne. And he's probably going to be, you know, going for Cody, as we've all seen. But there's still the question of, like, where does he fit within the entire bloodline group? Because he was with Roman before. He acknowledged Roman as the chief. The last time we saw him, Solo had said, this is all. And I don't know if having the new bloodline and Dwayne and Paul all as kind of a part of it is really what we need. Having all of that together feels very much like the NWO. In the second half of their run.
Yeah, NWO 5.5 or whatever. Now, let me ask you something. And feel free to chime in if a commercial shows up, Brock. But Paul Heyman has pretty much always called himself an advocate, not a manager, right, Brent?
Yes.
This version of Heyman. He's been in the past a manager, but this version has been an advocate, a wise man, etc.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, hasn't the majority of the people that he has advocated for, been wise for, managed, haven't they all, like, pretty much been heels, Brent?
I know, I'm going through. For the most part, yes.
Okay, so, if he has advocated for heels, if he has managed heels, if he has been the wise man of heel wrestlers, does that make Paul Heyman a heel? Or just somebody who knows what side of the bread is buttered? What do you think?
I think Brent's having coughing fits. And
is he having coughing fits? What do you think?
I wasn't listening to what you said. I was waiting for a response from him. So repeat your question.
Okay. My question is, he has advocated, managed, been the wise man for heels 99.9% of the time he has done this job. Does that make him a heel, or just somebody who knows which side of the bread, which side his bread is buttered on?
It makes him the ultimate wise man.
Does it make him a heel?
It makes him the wise man, smarter than everyone else. Doesn't have to be a heel.
There you go.
He's the wise man.
Okay. here's my twist on the whole thing. CM Punk is going to screw things up by attacking Roman. There's your conspiracy theory.
I don't think so.
I'm not saying that I'm expecting that to happen or that will happen, but that is the other, you know, that is the conspiracy theory.
I mean, there are many conspiracy theories, and we'll find out what theory takes place this Saturday at WWE Survivor Series War Games, airing on Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide.
I mean, there could be an Austin theory. We just don't know yet.
No, it will never again be an Austin theory. Anyway, that being said, Rock, I've got a question for you. Will there be a rack extra this week?
No, but there's a special rack. We'll talk about that here in a moment.
Okay, because I'm expecting that Lindsay is going to expand on a certain conspiracy theory. So, anyway, that's it. Did we pick who was going to win?
I think so.
Yeah, I said Team OG. What did you say, Brent?
Oh, geez.
Okay. So here's the programming, because it's not your typical programming week, because there's a lot of programming in the shortest amount of time. Tomorrow night's Raw Post Show live at 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Not So Live to talk AEW Full Gear. So it's a double dip tomorrow night after Monday night Raw. Tuesday night, a special edition of the Rack. There will be opinions tomorrow. Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Rack's Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special previewing Survivor Series. Because Thanksgiving is on Thursday, so we're doing the show Tuesday. Which means Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it is CB Radio Live. So we do our normal routine. We'll review Survivor Series on the Rack the following week. And you guys will be reviewing Survivor Series next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
For another edition of WTR Sunday Night. It's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio, or chat. Tim has socials.
I do. You can find me at Flames Forums on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And I'm talking hockey and I'm posting a lot every Calgary Flames hockey game, but that's what I do. It's not all I do. I talk about other stuff too. So, follow me on X at Flames Forums.
Brent has opinions, so delve into tomorrow, but he also has them on socials.
Yeah, I've got socials, and I delve into certain things about certain shows when they happen and make me go, what the hell is happening? You can find those things on Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming, support job by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSocket, the Fortnite item shop when you buy the brand new battle passes, the Fortnite crews, the Snoop Dogs, the M&Ms, the Billy Eyelashes, and more, because hashtag epic partner, and whatever an ice spice is, I don't even know what that is, but you can buy that too. Set us home, Tim.
Yeah, everybody, hope you enjoyed the preview tonight. Enjoy Survivor Series on Saturday late afternoon, early night, depending on your time zone. And I'd like to say to all of my American friends and family, in advance, happy Thanksgiving to you guys on November 28th. For everybody else in the world, I'll say in advance, happy Thursday, because that's all it is. And enjoy the fights with the family and the turkey and goose and ham or whatever your preference is. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, United States. Enjoy the week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night for our review show for Survivor Series. War Games, bitch!
WildTalkRadio.com.